5 feet. West swells 3 to 5 feet at 12 seconds. The time is now 6:06. Coming up next on your favorite radio station is time for My Empowered Hour with Jonathan Parkhurst.
Evening, Bay Area, Santa Cruz, Jonathan Parkhurst, My Empowered Hour. I'm super excited to be here tonight. It's been a few weeks, I think. It's been at least a couple of weeks. I know we've had some holidays coming up. You know, kids are back from school. Everybody's trying to get the cyber deals, the Black Fridays, like all this craziness happening right now. And you know, I've been pretty busy traveling myself, and I'm just excited to be here with you guys again and excited to bring a show to you today. You know, today's show is near and dear to my heart. My guest tonight is someone that I've met over the past year, and I'll just kind of let you guys know right away that Jenny Chamberlain is my guest tonight, and she's Supervisor Gore's Chief of Staff. And beyond her profession, she's also someone who has influenced the life of a teenage child. She's a foster mother, and she elected to take on this child at the later age of this child's life, more closer to the teen years. Many foster parents would struggle with that idea, right? That's things have already kind of happened in their life. And for those of you that know me, you know that I struggled in the foster care system. I didn't get a Jenny Chamberlain in my foster story. You know, I got somebody quite different. You know, I was severely abused, was passed around. My name had changed many different times. I was a product of the system from the minute that I was born. And so it was exciting for me to have been working with Jenny Chamberlain with Homes for the Homeless in helping with the homeless initiative in Sonoma County and with so many other social impact purposes in Sonoma County. And through that, she was so gracious and so such a champion of at-risk youth, people at risk. And she was very open about her story, which then obviously created this friendship between us. And so without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Jenny Chamberlain. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day. And I wanted you to be online on the call here while I do, you know, some justice to your background. You know, Jenny has made a lifelong passion in serving our community and encouraging people to go beyond their expectations, setting a path forward for those to follow. She's dedicated the last 20 years to mentoring at-risk youth and is now a single parent, a foster parent. And she is still the chief of staff for Sonoma County District 4, which is James Gore, past president of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for Sonoma County, and currently serves as an executive board of the California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So she's a busy woman. She also served as a past vice president of the La Siete Latino Leadership Group. How do you fit all of this in and still be this powerhouse for this kid? Talk to us.
Well, you know, it's down through the years, you pick and choose. Some of those are past, right? And, you know, I am single, so I believe as a single person, you utilize your time efficiently, but then it's my job to give back, right? So, and that's what I do. I think if I was married to kids, I'd not have as much time to give back to my community as I do now. But, yeah, that's how it goes. But it's a balancing act at the same time, so...
Well, for sure. And you know, even in further than that, there are certain recognitions that because you're of service, right, and because you are often looking for opportunities to connect people that are service connected that might be able to help one another. And you were honored and you are nominated by Assemblymember Jim Wood in 2018 as Woman of the Year representing District 2. And so just kind of want to, you know, lay this all out for our audience so they understand that, you know, oftentimes there's stigmas attached to foster parents, right? And to the foster program and to foster children. And I want to maybe confirm some of those, and I want to dispel some of those. But I wanted to first, as I told you when we did our first conversation, that I was going to at least give the weight of your background to our audience so they understood just how this is really who you are, right? It shouldn't be a surprise that you raised your hand and said, you know, let me help. Talk to us a little bit about this decision to be a foster mother.
Well, you know, it stems from my family. You know, I believe it takes a village to raise a child, and it definitely a village raised me. You know, my parents were young. My mom was 18 when she had me. My dad was drafted in the Army. This was during Vietnam War. He was actually stationed in Korea. So my mom, as a young teen parent, moved in with my father's family, and really that just created the family unit for me, the village that I grew up with and the village that I want to give back. Another thing is that my mother was in and out of foster care when she was younger. And it, because my grandmother was a single mom of 12 kids. Can you believe that? A single mom of 12 kids. And my grandmother my mom was the oldest out of 12. And growing up, you know, my mom's a great storyteller. I think I am as well. I heard these traumatic stories from my mother, but my mother always had to find some sort of joy in her situations when she would tell them stories. She'll tell us stories and kind of make them funny. But as an adult, you look back and like, gosh, sorry, if I want to cry. My mom went through so much. And all my life, ever since I can remember, Jonathan, I've always wanted to adopt. And as I get older, I wanted to foster. But I always thought, well, you have to be married to foster. You know, I can't really do adopt and foster because I'm single. But I met a friend by the name of Rebecca. I don't know if she's listening, who went as a, she was my inspiration. She became a single foster parent and adopted two boys. And I'm like, if Rebecca can do it, she's a teacher, that's her occupation, I can too. And that's what inspired me to start entering into the foster care system. I'm just going to learn information, but as you hear the stories and the needs of these children, your heart just, if you have love in you, there's no condition into who you love, whether that's your biological child or not. It's that love is just there to give out, right? And I found myself, I had two foster kids in my home so far, and you just, you know, I foster older youth. I, you know, as I say, I've been mentoring at-risk youth, teenagers, young adults for over 20 years, and now I just took it a step further beyond the mentoring.
Wow. 831-479-1080. We're getting right into it. We have Jenny Chamberlain, Chief of Staff for District 4 out of Sonoma County for Supervisor Gore. She's a single foster mother and elected to take over fostering a teenage child. And it comes from stock of a mom that was that was a single mother raising 12 kids. So it's no wonder why you could fit 24 hours in a 12-hour day. It's no wonder you come into it honestly. Right. We already have a caller, and his name is Steve out of Carmel, and we have a caller already. So I want to go ahead and let our caller jump in. Steve, can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Good. Hey, I didn't know you were doing a segment with somebody because I'm probably not even familiar with the subject that you're talking about. So do you want to not take my call?
Okay. Yeah, we can wait if you want to listen in a little bit longer, and then you can call back if you want to. Okay. So we're going to kind of 479-1080, 831-479-1080. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off here. Jenny was kind of giving us an idea of, you know, how did we come to this place where you did make a conscious decision to target kids that were further along. Is that correct?
I did, you know, and I grew up, you know, my parents are doing well now, but growing up in poverty, wow, as well, right? Growing up, me being Latina, growing up in an underserved neighborhood, there's so many things, and if any of my friends are listening, there's so many things thrown at you and so many choices you have to make as a child, you know, and I always say you walk this fine line. And had it not been just not the village that raised me, but that includes teachers, mentors, I'm a program kid. I've always been in programs. I was in the upper bound program. I was in the gifted intelligent program. And had it not been for these educators and these counselors investing in me and me saying yes as a kid. I'm not going to even say as a teenager, as a kid, I want this opportunity. I don't know where my life would be right now, Jonathan. Mm. And I'm always conscious of that because someone gave their free time. They didn't get paid. They gave it to me. And now I want to give it back, you know. And that's what drives me.
Right, right. And as an observation, you know, to kind of your bio, as I was reading through your bio and then now hearing what you're sharing, is it safe to say all of these things that you get involved in, which I'm sure you suffer from, many of us that give service, learning how to say no and learning not to put too much on your plate. Did you struggle with that as you started to get benefits from doing that? I would imagine. I mean, you were 2019 LifeWorks Champion for Change. You know, it was an award given to leaders who have positively affected the lives of children and youth. And I know that you don't do it for that, but obviously, you know, you're making a big enough influence that people are paying attention. You co-founded the Northern California Women's Entrepreneurs Leadership Group. And so when we talk about empowerment, right, it's in your bones, it's in your matrix to empower people. What is that doing for you? Like, honestly.
God, you know, the greatest, and you said it, you just said it right. Somebody empowered me. And now it's time for me to pass the torch and empower others. And people just, even in me, even going back to youth and people need someone to believe in them and say, yes, you can. When you're at the bottom of your barrel, when you believe that there's no way out or that life's not going to get any better, you just need one person to say, yes, I believe in you. I hope for you, right? And that's what it is when you empower others. The greatest benefit is when I see someone that I believe in and they take off and fly. And even a greater benefit is when they fly higher than I could ever fly. Mm. And that's my legacy, right? That's where I receive joy. I don't do this for money. I don't get paid for it. I do it to fill my heart. And I think that if we all found something, because why do I get involved in foster youth? Well, I told you, I realize now that it's my mother, right? My mother was in foster youth, and this is what helped steer me in my life. Why do I care about the homeless? I've had homeless family members, and I've seen what happens, and I had an uncle who died homeless, right? So therefore, that's why I'm connected to that. That's why I'm so passionate. So for people, what is it that you're connected to, and why? And once we dig, sometimes there's some pain and tears and joy and laughter mixed up in that. And you find that core that drives you, then you can go and empower and impact others.
You know, that's an interesting thing. You know, 831-479-1080. We're talking to Jenny Chamberlain. She's the chief of staff for District 4 out of Sonoma County. Been awarded many, 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 many things. Was the co-founder of Northern California's Women Entrepreneur Group. A co-author of an international bestseller, which is Destiny Talks, which we're going to talk a little bit about, which features 21 stories of women and their journeys to success. And we're going to talk about all of these things, and there's so many things to talk about. But what I want to say about this particular person and what we're really trying to drive home today in the show, folks, 831-479-1080, don't forget this is a contact sport, is the metrics of a person that is empowering this much in their lives. Oftentimes, listeners listen to this and they go, oh my God, like, when would I have time? How do I get started, right? There's the stigma around foster care, right? What's the process? Think about a mortgage, right? The first time somebody went and got a mortgage, they're like, oh my God, I don't even know if I could, my credit will be, how do I even know if income is there? You know what I mean? And then your mind gets to plan these things in your head that you're just not going to be able to do it. It's too much work. Walk us through maybe knocking out some of those stigmas around how difficult is it really to get involved? If you're a working person, you're a single mom, you live in the Bay Area, but this sounds really good. You love what Jenny's talking about, and you don't know if you could foster right now, but talk to me, Jenny. What can they do?
What can they do? Number one, I think the biggest barrier is yourself, because it is overwhelming when you think about it. But remember, I didn't wake up with a light bulb over my head and say, hey, I think I'm going to be a single foster parent today, right? It took about 4 years for me to finally make that decision. But I started off mentoring. You know, when I live in Northern Cal now, but when I lived in Southern Cal, I volunteered for a nonprofit out there in Orange County called Casa Teresa. And I started off volunteering at the CS shop on Saturdays, and then I taught Excel classes, which when Excel was really easy. And those were homeless, pregnant women. Women who were pregnant, who were homeless, whether they were in the system, something, life brought them there if they left a domestic violence situation. And that's where I really started, right? Plus, I grew up, my family, even growing up in poverty, my family always tried to find ways to get back to the community. And then as I got older, I volunteered with the YWCA, working with at-risk youth with the YWCA, and I volunteered once every other week. I was a mentee to a young teenager. And then with church, I became a Sunday school teacher for a while for middle school ages. And so it's just like this slow progression, right? And then started working with young adults. And now it's just women in general, and sometimes men. And so, I think if you're afraid, volunteer once a week somewhere. You know, where does your heart take you, basically? Is it homelessness? Is it foster youth? Is it working with seniors? My next door neighbor, she's 91 years old, and she's single, and I try to spend once a week with her having coffee and cookies, right? I mean, is there a neighbor? I come from a fire country, right? I mean, we've had fire after fire after fire. Is there something in your community where you can go help people who, during fires, can you go volunteer for the Red Cross or, anywhere? To start off with volunteering. If you don't, the beauty of volunteering, Jonathan, is that you don't have to make an everyday commitment, once a week commitment. You give your time as needed, and that's where you start off.
You know, that's an interesting thing. You know, I was told that pitch too. The funny thing about it is like drugs. It's like the first one's free, and as soon as you start volunteering, you catch the bug. It's like when I got on theater the first time. Marty Jennings was my theater instructor when I was in high school. Oh, just get up there. We're just going to do a little monologue. It was like pulling teeth. I was like, absolutely not. I'm never going to do this. The first time I read a monologue and I really like knocked it out of the park, I had the bug for theater for the next 15 years. Like, I couldn't get rid of it. I was really go broke just to do it again, you know? And I found that to be true around giving, right? And there's a saying that I graduated from hotshot to servant, right? And, you know, I no longer wanted to be known as this critical thinker, strategist, business person. I wanted to be known as a person who gave of his time, right? And when we read your bio, that's all it screams is this person who, my personal experience is, you give of your time. And I want people to hear it from you more than from me, because everybody thinks I'm on crack, right? I move so fast, I'm always talking, and he's like, this guy's got energy like nobody else. But we belong to a fraternity. Right, exactly. We belong to a fraternity where we're able to do this, We're also beset by some of these challenges, okay? I'm going to read some of them. There are seven basic issues facing teens in the foster care system. Abuse, at least 25% of the former foster care report that they were neglected or abused. I was severely abused. This number can be as high as 40% in many other surveys. Teen pregnancy is a huge one, right? Twice as many girls becoming pregnant before they turn the age of 19. Depression, anxiety, right? So many of them suffer anxiety, traumatic events, neglect, abuse. And so up to 80% of children in the foster care experiencing anxiety disorders, depression, mental health issues. And I'll just read, two more here, which is substance abuse, right? Up to 90% of foster youth have experienced trauma and abuse in their lifetime. 49% of those, conservatively, are suffering some type of substance abuse. So talk to me, when you hear those numbers, what are your thoughts?
My heart rate. My heart rate. my heart breaks. You know, Jonathan, you know, one out of every four youth in foster care will become homeless. Approximately 25% of former foster youth experience homelessness within 4 years of being emancipated from the foster system. That breaks my heart. Because this can all be preventative if we just gave back a little to these kids. And I'm not saying that everyone has to be a foster parent, because that's definitely a unique calling in life. But even to be a mentor, there's, you know, different counties. Like my county has Mentor Me. We have CASA, and sometimes they just need someone who, some love, right? Because you talk about neglect, there's abandonment in there as well, right? Some kids, you know, are abandoned. You know, they have that sense of abandonment, of not being belonged or not being loved by their biological parents, right? And substance abuse, like, for example, a lot of people tell me, why do you foster older kids? They have a lot of baggage, right? How come you don't get a baby? You're getting a teenager. There's so much baggage. They have so many problems. But why, Jonathan? And you've experienced this, right?
Yep.
What caused this child to start using alcohol at the age of 10? My kid's a different case, but I'm using generalizations, right? Oh, what causes this child to have anger issues? Oh, they're always so angry. But why are they so angry?
Right.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault. So what can we do with a great deal of patience and love, unconditional love, to give back, to show them that, hey, not everyone in their eyes bad, right? So I don't see it as baggage, or people think, oh, you're doing this good for you, you're such a good person, charity. No, because, you know, in the long run, Jonathan, I benefit more than they do. I feel like I'm the benefit factor, right? Can you imagine that, let's say you have a 12 or 10 year old girl or boy, and they're in the foster care system. Maybe they're living at a group home, or maybe they've gone to the third placement. But the constant adult in their life is their mentor. And you meet this child at 10, and you mentor them till they're 18. You're there. You meet them once a week or every other week, whenever you can. You take them hiking. You take them out for ice cream. And you're someone they can just vent and talk to, right?
Right.
From your experience, Jonathan.
Huge. Let me just tell you that the smallest amount of reinforcement is why I am what I am today. People are like, oh my God, what happened to you? How did you get through all the abuse and all the, and I said, it was literally one person. It was two people at different times that said something as much as, it was as something as little as, you know, I can see you actually doing this. You're really good at this, you know, was Marty Jennings with acting. You know, he was like, I could see you on stage. And I was like, stop it. And he goes, no, I mean it. Like, you're really quite gifted in this space. And it changed my whole trajectory of my life. When I mentor young people, all I need to say is something honest, right? That's why we do the Gallup Poll Strengths Test and things like that, is we try to find one strength. And it's amazing what that one little seed does for them. And of course, you know as well as I do, you just said it, is what it does for me is any bills that I'm having trouble with, any problems I think I have, they're gone, right?
They're completely gone.
Yeah.
831-479-1080. I have a guest that just called in. Tiffany Bilowski just called in from Southern California. Tiffany, can you hear us?
I can. I can hear you loud and clear.
I know, because my voice is so loud. Hi, Tiffany. You're on with us at KSCO.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Jenny. Obviously, I've known Jonathan for quite some time, and he invited me in to listen tonight, just because this is a topic for me that's dear to my heart. But I had quite a few questions for you, Jenny, because I was really involved a lot up in Northern California through my 20s and my 30s. with child advocacy and CASA and stuff. And then I moved down to Orange County and had a really hard time getting back involved just because just some of the stipulations and what they made you do. So I was just curious. I know you talked about mentoring, and I was just curious if you had any advice on something that does allow you to get close to the child and be that mentor, but yet at the same time, you know, like don't have to go through months of training, put it that way.
You know, each county is different. So if you're in Orange County, yep, I can't speak to that. But, you know, there is this 2-1-1. You can do 2-1-1 statewide. And if you go into 2-1-1, you can either call 2-1-1. I would rather go through the website, 2-1-1.org. And you can look at the different nonprofits. Because there's different nonprofits that that have different opportunities. Maybe it's just rate. I mean, when you work with youth, you have to go through background checks and you have to through these things. I know CASA is very extensive training, but I would suggest that you look at the different nonprofits in your area and your city and see what really best fits you, right?
Okay.
Like there could be like a big, Big Brothers and Big Sisters or Boys and Girls Clubs, because there's foster youth, but then there's also your at-risk youth too, right? That need a helping hand as well. And that's what I would suggest that you took.
You know, and I would just add to that, you know, how I got started was I got involved with Big Sisters, Big Brothers, right? And I learned the idea of what a commitment was, right? Like you can't just kind of come in and out of their lives, right? But I realized that I could bite off only a certain amount, right? So I realized my life was pretty busy. But the thing they taught me in orientation was just bite off what you can for sure show up to do. If it's the third Tuesday of every month, right, then just do that, right? And what I found in all of that is I learned some of the basics that really influence a kid is that they always know you're going to show up. I never rescheduled. I never didn't show. Right. That was the first thing. The second thing is that I all of a sudden started learning like places like First Place for Youth, which Tiffany, I think this is something that you would care about, is First Place for Youth. I was on the board with them and somebody that's a friend of ours introduced me to them, and they influenced the policy around aging out of the foster care program. And that really made a difference, because when I was 18, you're aged out. You're on your own. Bye bye. Good luck, right? Mm-hmm. And now this First Place for Youths, you can stay in the foster care program as long as 24 years of age, as long as you're in school or you have a job, and they provide the housing for you. So there's so many things that a professional like you, I've known Tiffany for almost 20 years, Jenny, and she's, you know, a powerhouse in the staffing industry and in really creating, you know, a robust, you know, opportunity for organizations that are trying to build, you know, large staffing initiatives, right? And you got a heart of gold, and she's just trying to find a place, right, that she can really use the same type of influence. You know, I think the part of this is, and then I'll shut up, is like, we want to influence so much, right? And where can I get the most bang for my buck? I'm not speaking for Tiffany, I'm just saying for me, but...
You know, Tiffany, as Jonathan mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned the transitional youth program. So as Jonathan mentioned, previously before 2010, the state of California, once a youth turned 18, they automatically became emancipated out of the system, which caused a cycle of poverty, a cycle of homelessness for these youth. Can you imagine 18, you just graduated from high school and you have no income and you're out in the street?
Right.
You're not part of the foster care system. So in 2010, AB 12, the governor signed it into law in 2010. It became effective 2012, but the state of California now has a transitional program where if the youth opts to stay in till the age of 21, they can stay in the foster care system 21. And then my county, at least, if you Google young adult transitional foster youth program and name your county, most counties, I believe, in the state of California have programs up to the age of 24 where you can rent a room in your home to a former foster youth. One team that I had for a short while, you teach them how to manage their checkbooks. How do you keep a checkbook? Right? Like we grew up, my home mom taught me how to do my checkbook. But if you're a foster youth, you may not have them, right?
let's this is how you dress for an interview. Right. Our young women need us. Our young men need us to teach them life skills beyond the age of 18. Right? How do you do an interview? How do you write a resume? How do you dress for an interview? How do you write an email, a professional email? Like, these simple types of things that you know, working with our young adult population would be greatly needed as well.
Wow. Thank you so much. 831-479-1080. Thank you, Tiffany, for calling in. And so here we are. We're talking to Jenny Chamberlain, and Jenny has, you know, jumped in here today and really given us, you know, a lot to think over. You know, here's a woman whose, you know, mother was a single mother of 12 kids, right? You know, which
so my
I would
grandmother
assume
was
be
a single mom.
Your grandmother.
My grandmother was.
So your grandmother was a single mother of 12 kids, you know, which puts you in a position of generationally pretty humble beginnings, right? We talked a little bit about transcending, you know, our environments. And part of that comes from a place of finding something that I can do for others that move me beyond my own circumstances, right? I mean, just being really frank here, my experience has been that when I feel like I'm struggling or I don't have what I need in life, that by giving to others, I transcend all of that. And I've watched, just in the short time I've known you, your impact to the homeless, you know, and what does that number look like right now, Jenny, if you know off the top of your head, of homeless youth? Because we talk about the homeless. You know, Santa Cruz has a huge homeless problem, right? People are talking about it all the time. But then when you boil that down to the homeless youth, what does that look like?
Gosh, you know, funny that you asked. I was trying to list the statistics, and I don't see any recent statistics. And it may be a result of COVID, and I would have to, you know, ask some of my team at the county to see if they have any. But, I mean, you know, maybe about 500,000 or more if youth are homeless. And when you think about homeless youth, you know, it goes beyond the foster care system. You know, you have our teens who run away from home because they're in violent situations and they just leave, right? Where do these teens go? It's easier for them to live on the streets than to any type of abuse that they're facing at home, right? And people, society wants to label them as troubled youth. Yeah, they're troubled, but not troubled in the way that you're insinuating that they're troubled. Because they come from these situations that they need help in, or just for safety reasons, you know. So I think I was reading something from 2015. The closest thing I got to most recently was 550,000 youth experience homelessness, and that goes more for young boys. So a lot of systems, once a young man turns 13 years old. It's harder for a family to get housing, shelter, emergency shelter, because young teen boys are considered more at risk. So, you know, let's think about that. And then you have your LGBTQ youth who are have greater numbers in foster care as well. Something else to think about as we ponder upon these thoughts.
So in 2022... It's very heartbreaking. I'm going to give some statistics. And, you know, again, guys, this is my Empowered Hour. So we're not going to leave you on a cliffhanger feeling all depressed when you get off of this. There's hope, you know. But I also want to hit you smack in the face that there's a lot to do here, right? And in my Empowered Hour, if you're a listener, you know, I guess the thing I'm trying to say is, like, get on board with something, right? 407,000 children is the census in 2022 across the United States. So over 407,000 children are in the youth foster care, and 34% of them were placed with relatives or kin, which is good, right? 34% of them were placed with some family member or some kin, right? But one of the key facts about all of these numbers is, again, when we start talking about these, we talk about the term kin encompasses both relatives, blood and marriage, and those who are unrelated but have such a close emotional relationship that they are considered like family to the child or youth. How did you become the foster parent for the youth that you're with?
So first of all, in the state of California, most recently, the goal whenever a child enters into the foster care system, the goal is reunification. So number one, the goal is you don't enter the foster care system as a volunteer. I can adopt somebody. The goal is always reunification with the parent. And California is amazing. There's so many programs to help the parent become a successful and productive parent. Number two, the first option is to place them with next to kin, which what you just explained, right? Blood relative or a close family friend. Now, that's not available. Then it goes to someone like me who has to go through all these classes. I mean, extensive background, super strict, right? Extensive background. You have to take CPR classes. I had to take a few months worth of parenting classes and to learn about children who are in foster care and the trauma and the different scenarios that you go through. And then after that, you get certified, right, months later. And then I think my first meeting felt like a blind date, right? I wrote about it. I have this blog that I wrote. It's called Write Your Story, 707.com. And I write about my first experience meeting a little boy who I didn't end up keeping my home. And it was, you're nervous, right? Because you're it's a matchmaking process. You meet the child in a supervised situation, and you kind of talk and you kind of figure out if you both match and you both are compatible, right? The first one that I met, I wanted to adopt a little boy, right? So the first boy I met, I took out a couple of times, and he's very introverted, and I live in very extreme extrovert lifestyle. I work with the public, and I had to come to the hard conclusion that we were not a good match. He was up for adoption, and it broke my heart, seriously broke my heart to have to turn that down because I knew that I wasn't the best fit for him. And that, Jonathan, was probably the hardest decision I ever had to make in my whole life. It was hard. Sorry.
I bet. I mean, when you go through that process, right? I imagine it's lengthy.
It was lengthy. And, you know, my hopes were up high. I'm like, okay, I'm a good child now, right? And then, you know, and so my second placement was a young girl. She was in a transitional program, and I had her for about 6 months. And going into the situation, knowing that I was going to have her for 6 months, I remember I said, well, I'm Hispanic. I really want to prioritize Hispanic children into my home. And walks this blonde-haired, blue-eyed young girl, you know, really light-skinned. I immediately looked at her, and I said, she's mine. I'm going to take her, you know, I'm going to be her mom for the next few months. And she was 17 years old. And I tell you, the day she moved into her, because she was going into the young adult transitional housing program, because I'm just a regular foster parent. The thing I missed when I walked in the door was her shoes in the entryway. And I cried the first day she was at home. I cried and I cried. Yeah. And then this young boy, he's just, God, I love him to death. We're very much alike that we bump heads sometimes. And I got him when I met him when he was 11, then he was 12. Now he's 14, going on 15. And he's back home with his mom, reunification, and she and I co-parent together. And it's just amazing. I have him on weekends. He visits, and he comes to my family, has adopted him, and it's a beautiful situation. And he and his mom, we just call each other. We tag, double tag team on, you know, his education and whatnot. And it's beautiful for me. And it works just fine.
Hence the, it takes a village, right? And that's what it comes down to. Is you can never get too much, right? Too much attention. You can never get too much love. 831-479-1080. So that's 831-479-1080. And so I'm going to open it up for anybody that wants to jump in here. Any questions or comments around this topic? As many of you know, it's no mistake that the world would bring me, closer to Jenny, with my background and my experience in foster care and the adoption program. It was nothing like what she's describing, what she does in that space. Let's talk a little bit about the future and where you see the future of the foster care system or where we should be headed. You talked about matchmaking, and I'm going to position this because, Tiffany mentioned to me earlier today, because we're recruiters, why isn't it more like the recruiting, like the staffing industry, right? Why isn't it more robust right, in this process. Where do you see the foster care? Is it getting better? Can it meet the needs of what's happening with the fentanyl epidemic, with the homeless epidemic, right? Can we meet the need? What needs to happen?
I see. Okay, there's like so many answers to that, right? Number one,
right.
In order for us to meet the need, is we need you, the audience. We need you to be open, right? We need you to even go to an information orientation and see if this is something you're ready for. You might not be ready for it today because we don't have enough homes. That's the biggest problem, Jonathan. We don't have enough homes. And again, you may not do it. We have the young adults who just need to rent a room from you, and that's guaranteed rent. Guaranteed rent. You just open your home and you just be their constant person for a young adult. You can have that option too, or be a mentor. Number two, for me, each county is different. Everyone has a different experience. I had an amazing experience with the county of Sonoma because it was a matchmaking process. There was interviews. They call you. They tell you, I have this child. Here's the personality. Once you kind of do a meet and greet, there's no pressure. There's no like, okay, you meet this kid. You got to meet him again. You know, and with the county of Sonoma, I had a mentor. Her name is Joyce. I don't know if she's listening, Joyce Cameron, who's amazing mentor. She just got awarded California a Foster Parent of the Year, she and her husband. I had my own social worker, right? So I had my team to advocate for me and my needs and help me identify what my needs were. My child had theirs. My child's mother had you know, and then we're part of Seneca, which is part of the continuum of care, right? Seneca works with foster youth and families in terms of reunification. So Seneca, there's counseling for the child, there's counseling for the mom. I have my own therapist. I'm like, I need help. I don't know what to do. And so it sounds scary, but there's so many resources out there. And then you have the foster care community, the parents. My community, we had the Redwood Empire Foster Care Council, and those are people who just, I still get gifts, you know, I still get like little Christmas presents, Mother's Day presents for them. But there, you have a beautiful community of foster parents that are there to support you, right?
And well, that's interesting.
Yes, you can take vacations. Yeah, you can take vacations and your child goes to another home while you're on vacation. So it's beautiful.
See, and I don't think a lot of us know that, you know, that once you join this fraternity, there's a whole, you know, network, right? There's a whole cohort that's there understanding the challenges, and they're there to help each other through those challenges, right? There's coverage, and there's therapy.
And to give you respite. Yeah, therapy, and their foster parents would say, hey, I know you're a single mom. Do you need a little break once you bring your kid over to my house, right? Mm. So you're not alone. You are not alone when you do this. And you don't have to be married to be a foster parent.
And I love that about your message. It's like, come on, guys. Like, it's like, and then there's so many other things that we can do individually. Now, tell me about, in your own opinion, and I know you're always very careful, but you're also very real too, the social impact of corporations, right? And social responsibility. What is your feeling about that? Your opinion. Is there enough organizations that have their eye on this? You know, that are literally focused, laser focused on housing initiatives for kids in the foster care system. What is your opinion?
You know what? I think there's a lot of great advocates. I think they're not aware of it. It's not, you know, I can't say, oh, you guys don't care as corporations because you're not investing in foster care. It's about what we're doing today, Jonathan. I'm wondering how many, you know, people who are in the corporate world are listening to our podcast and saying, hey, this is an initiative I think that my company might want to invest in, right? So it's about people like me and you bringing these to light, bringing it to the forefront and inviting the community, inviting the corporate world, inviting philanthropists to participate. And then the choice is up to you, whether you say yes or no.
I think that that's one of the things that me as a person, you know, in my staffing initiative, I think I'm going to focus a little bit on that space and find out those organizations that are maybe aligned with a social responsibility around kids, right? And specifically foster. You know, it just came to me just now. It's like, you know, corporations, I feel, influence that far greater than waiting on, you know, individuals or municipalities, and oftentimes, right? Because the money is thin, right? Budgets are low, right?
And you'll be surprised who works in these companies and their connection to homelessness or foster youth, right? You'll be surprised. Right. Maybe a kid didn't go into foster youth, but they grew up in a domestic violence situation and they wish that maybe they could have gone into foster youth or they had a way out. We don't know who's leading these companies. We don't know who's going to be the next leader of these companies who's listening to this podcast right now that can make that difference. We don't know who our neighbors are that can relate to this, right?
Right.
And I'm glad I met you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I appreciate, you know, just that you really today you made it really simple for people to start to really understand the initial steps, right? Like, it's just about maybe finding a nonprofit, right? Like, first, let's do a shop, right? Shop around and see what nonprofits are doing something that might grab you, right? This sounds interesting, right? This sounds like something I want to learn more about. Just pick up the phone and ask them, right? How welcoming are these organizations, right? And I think there's a stigma that, you know, oh, you know, maybe I don't have the time or, you know, I don't want to go through the whole background thing. You know, it's going to take months. I don't really have time. You know, how long was that background process? Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Well, for me, becoming a foster parent, it was at least, because you're taking a child into your home. So that's different than just volunteering at a nonprofit, right? You know, I had to go through an extensive background check, which included a mental health check. I had to go through a physical check. So that took, it also depended on my schedule. So it took at least 6 months, a little bit more, for me to finish everything, which is good because they're not just handing out certificates to just anybody, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Right. And then you go through this business, right? I had to get my fingerprint. But if you go to a nonprofit and you're volunteering, each nonprofit, I mean, if you're working with youth, you're going to have to go through some sort of background, not extensive as becoming a foster parent, but you're going to have to go through something. Or even, gosh, you know, how many of you like parties? A lot of these nonprofits have fundraisers and they always need volunteers to set up, to clean up, to pour wine, to do check-ins. Start off as that. I started off doing check-in. That's how I actually started off as a young adult, doing check-in. I'll volunteer for my friend's nonprofit, and I'll check people in, right? Nonprofits are always needing help doing different things. And, you know, and you have your seniors. Let's not forget about our seniors, Jonathan. We have unhoused or homeless seniors, right? So, you know, there's a lot of senior centers that need people to volunteer as well. So maybe that's your jam right there.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about that since we have a couple more minutes and you are so involved in our homeless initiative. What's going on in District 4 and nationally right now? Where do you see things right now around our homeless initiative?
I think, well, in my district, in my county, Sonoma County has just done so many great things. We have Project Home Keys. The state of California and the governor has created an initiative of Project Home Key. And that different counties are doing different things, you know, that's providing housing to our unsheltered. A lot of them are like old rundown hotels that they're getting, they're revitalizing and opening up to the homeless population, or unsheltered population. There's a lot of stigma behind that. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't want, you know, this old hotel with homeless people in it. And number one, they remodel the hotel. Number two, there's a whole management system that goes behind there. You have security, people have, you know, you have to, there's all of these roles that go behind it. You have to you know, you have curfew, you have to do drug tests, you have to go through extensive background checks so you don't have to worry about some, you know, child molester living, you know, a block away from you because they're at a homeless, you know, hotel. There's extensive things that go in there, but also there's that continuum of care portion to it, where these people are getting mental health care, they're getting health care, they're getting job training, Can you imagine, or yes, you can, I'm sorry. You know, let's say you're homeless, you're trying to go, sorry, yeah, you're trying to go for job interviews, but you need a good shower and you need clothes to get that job to be a busboy at the restaurant or something, you know? Like, that's things right. like that make a big difference. And this is what we're doing in Sonoma County. In my district, we're just opening up the L&M Hotel in the city of Hillsburg, and that's in Sonoma County, where we're going to start placing, the ribbon cutting is coming up pretty soon. We're going to start placing people in these rooms and help them get back on their feet.
I know, I'm so excited for that. You know, I'm, you know.
Yeah. But it benefits everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. It does, you know. It was such a great event when we went to the gala, and the silent auction. What a great event! And you really got a chance to see some of the social responsibility of some of the organizations up in Sonoma County, and what L&M had already done to kind of set
reach for home.
For right, Reach for Home had really shown some real, you know, kind of set the bar. You know, we have a couple minutes, and so I just kind of want to summarize. We're going to be bringing you back, as I talked to you about before, because this was a lot of dense information, but I want to remind our audience, you know, who you are. So Jenny Chamberlain was our guest today, and I think one of the biggest things that jumped out to me was your co-authoring of the Destiny Talks, and then in addition to that, the several inspirational, motivational blogs that you do, which is Write Your Story, and that's at www.writeyourstory.com. You can find Jen, go ahead.
Write Your Story _.com. Write Your Story
-.com. Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's right. Write Your Story -.com. And anybody that wants to learn more about Jenny, where can they find you?
Where they can find me. You can find me through my blog, or you can email me at writeyourstory707@gmail.com.
Awesome. Jenny, I haven't thank written you so my much blog for joining us.
Yeah, sure.
No, please tell us. Go ahead. What about the blog?
Well, I haven't written my blog in a few months because last year was extremely busy, but I'm getting this far and I have a few more pieces I'm looking at. So I'll be blogging again soon.
That's great. And as I said, you know, Jenny is extremely busy with the homeless in District 4, working with Supervisor Gore. They're moving into a more of a national footprint. You'll be seeing some of that. For women that are listening on our show, you know, she's been, and she helped co-found the Northern California Women's Entrepreneur Leadership Program. Reach out to me directly. I'm happy to connect you with Jenny. She's been an influential part of my give here in Northern California, and how and when and who to give with. Thank you so much for your time today, Jenny. I'm looking forward to many, many more of these conversations and hanging out with you as we provide service to Sonoma County and Northern California. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. It was an extreme honor to be on your show today. Appreciate it.
We'll have you back. So until next time, those of you that are out there, be well, stay safe, look for those opportunities where you can help. You know, this is a contact sport, right? Get involved. Until next time, this is Jonathan with My Empowered Hour. Good night.
Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been true.
This is AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz. We're coming up on 7 p.m. Headlines are up next.
I don't know what's up there.